I'm going to make an observation as we begin. Here's the observation. I might not have all the right data. Here's the observation. When bad weather strikes South Central Pennsylvania, it's done on Saturdays. Because Satan's got to find a way to keep people away from worship. So he uses weather to do it. And again, that's an observation, but as I just think about all the snowstorms and ice storms and other problems that have happened, it just seems like Saturday or Sunday rises to the top of when all these things have to happen. And I lay that at the feet of Satan. I really do. I want to ask you a quick question. How many of you attended, were members here in the year 2000, in that timeline, late 90s, early 2000s? Okay, good number of you. I say that because I have heard of this congregation and the greatness of this congregation. Even though I was not here during that timeline, I heard of the joy of this congregation, of the worship here, of the attendance here. In fact, as what records we do have kind of speak to that timeline, as the 90s were entering and the 2000s were beginning, this church was literally filled with people every Sunday. And in fact, that number averages right around 200 that was going on at that point in time. But that was the past. That was 20 to 25 years ago. Sadly, over the last 20 years, this congregation, for a myriad of reasons, experienced a slow but steady decline. And as time would go on, some of you, because we have talked in the past, wondered, what is the future of this great congregation that you have loved for so many years? Then came 2020. A year in which the world and this congregation experienced what was called a pandemic. It was, especially the first half of that year, a tumultuous time within our nation, within the country, within the world. This church chose to try to continue to worship, even it had to worship outside in a parking lot. The preacher of this congregation no longer was preaching here by the spring of 2020. Eric was gone. There were some who, because of COVID, were not coming. There were some who kind of took that opportunity to just slowly fade away spiritually. And if you really just took a look at numbers, man, 2020 slapped this congregation silly. And this group of people, I don't know how many we have today, but probably was somewhere around this number in 2020. It was a tough year. Doom and gloom, right? My answer is no. Satan may have been at work attacking Christendom as a whole. But Satan is not the only spiritual power.
Right.
And I think sometimes we forgot that. So Satan's at work trying his best to destroy God's church, not just Glen Rock Church of Christ. I'm just talking Christendom as a whole, any religious movement as a whole, for that matter. But there were still some within this congregation who were praying, who were seeking God, who were desiring for the work of the Holy Spirit to rebuild the kingdom of God right here in this community. In fact, in 2019, the year prior to the pandemic, the elders of this congregation were getting together believing that whatever was causing this downward spiral that had been experiencing now for almost two decades not only had to come to a stop, but God was going to do something great. And others would say, how could a smaller, struggling, numerically that is, congregation begin to think, how could that leadership begin to think God is going to go to work and is at work already doing something? How do we step into God's vision, God's work, God's kingdom? And so the elders sat down and put together, if you will, I believe guided by God and His Spirit, what is called the 2030 vision. And they did so because faith was greater than fear. And they would be together and they would look a decade down the road. And they would see God's kingdom right here in South Central York County exploding. That God would have drawn unto Himself people that just desired to worship Him. A number of 200 was used just simply as a starting place. Not necessarily a goal, but just simply to say there are at least 200 souls in this larger area that God calls to worship Him. And we want to be a part of God's movement. So as they were looking down the road and really seeing this vision, the question became, how do we as a church enter into what God is already doing? And so the elders decided, let's challenge this church with a methodical walk, steps, action plan, year by year, to help unfold before all of us, not just a vision, but the reality of a rebuilt kingdom, the reality of the New Jerusalem, the reality of what God was already doing, but our finite and maybe scared minds refused to believe. So as that plan was put together, it was not just a dream. It was not just saying, let's push our people to do something. It was a belief that God's harvest was already here, that his harvest was white, as in ready to be picked. And so they put together that first year, 2020. So that was 2019. They put together for that first year and say, okay, the foundation of anything, any movement has to be a connection to God in prayer. Amen. Has to be. Nothing else can shake the world like God. And prayer brings the spiritual kingdom into the physical world. So that decision to say 2020 is going to be a year of prayer, that decision in 2019, before the word COVID was ever even heard, said, okay, this is where we're going to get started. And then came 2020. So our elders have taken hold of this joy of salvation that God has placed upon them. This kingdom growth and this action step of prayer to be met with a statement that says, gatherings need to end for the safety and health and the well-being of the nation. Difficulty within the congregation. Eric's leaving. All taking place right around March, April timeline. The elders said, this is a year of prayer. This is a year that, if there's ever been a year, this is a year. We got to pray. We just got to pray. And so the challenge that was set before you all was to spend an entire year privately in prayer, connecting with somebody else in prayer partners, small group prayers, large group prayers, all seeking God to come and help us see where he is at work. It wasn't an invitation for God. It was more of an invitation for us to come to God. And so 2020 began that year, and that year, if you will, would have as its basic theme, if God is for us, who can be against us? And prayer invites spiritual warfare. It begs for that. 2021, year number two. The year of, well, that's a good question. Because 2020 was just wreaking havoc across the nation in every congregation. 2021, we were beginning to see a shift and say, okay, COVID is here. We're going to manage it. It's not going to manage us. We're going to be going forward. We're going to be doing things. It was supposed to be the year of discipleship. The church had been without a preacher for about a year. The end of 2000, Carrie and I made a decision. We are going to leave Pittsburgh after 23 and a half years. It would be almost 24 years by the time we actually left. We made a decision that said that ministry that we had been a part of, that our youngest children were born into, that our older children grew up in, we needed a change. And we believed the church needed a change. So we started looking. And God brought us together. Through a series of conversations and interviews and then Zoom interviews with the whole congregation. I remember that one. Nothing like being on trial with like 50 different boxes. You'd think it's the Brady Bunch had exploded. And then I had the opportunity to come and speak in March. And a decision was made for us to kind of join together and me to walk alongside this eldership that was seeing God at work. And the 23rd of May of 2021 was my first Sunday here for Carrie and I. It was supposed to be part of this step work of the vision. I didn't understand the vision. I wasn't a part of that. I didn't grasp like I should have. And the elders allowed for me to take those next 6 months, the rest of 2021, and just connect with the family here and begin a ministry and get to know you, and you get to know me. So 2020 was a year of prayer. 2021, I'm going to call it a year of transition. We kind of stepped away. But God didn't. During 2021, people started coming to worship here who had never been here before. During that second half of 2021, the elders now and myself began to take a look at 2022 and say, we need to focus on the vision. God gave us this vision. What is the next best step? It had originally been discipleship, but we decided in 2022 it was going to be the year of fellowship. And I used the phrase, a Greek word, koinonia. And koinonia, the reason I picked that term, that Greek word, is it does get translated fellowship, but there's just so much more to that. And if you remember, we spent a year thinking about our fellowship with each other, our fellowship with God, and the fellowship with those who are not yet saved, and how they need to see the joy and the beauty of Christian fellowship. And so 2022 was a year where we just drew closer together, and the first full year, Carrie and I got to experience this church family, and people were coming into this church family. We had people visiting, some just literally off the street, just coming in and worshiping, that we had no idea what was bringing them here, except for we all should have said, God. God. And so 2022 began, and we saw the church had taken this shift from 2020 and 2021 and began to see an upward movement, just as those elders had seen in 2019. Last year, 2023, was a year of discipleship, a year when we said we need to focus on what it means to surrender. Surrender ourselves to God. What it means to follow Jesus Christ. And what does that demand of me as a disciple of Jesus to walk with Him? We were closing out last year with this thought of discipleship not only causes us to surrender and to follow, but as disciples, we need to be fishing. Spiritually fishing. We need to be casting our net. God is already at work. In fact, if I remember correctly, we had 10 baptisms in 2023, if I remember that number correctly. Not all who are still members here because they transitioned to other places or connected to people here but didn't live in our area. It's probably more baptisms than this congregation had witnessed. Maybe in decades, I don't know. 2023, 2022, and 2020. The foundation had been laid. Prayer, fellowship, discipleship. The bedrock of the vision had been set now before us, the congregation. The question becomes, how do we move into our action steps more completely and with a deeper heart? And 2024 is taking upon itself a new theme.
Spiritual conversations. Sounds pretty simple. What does it mean? It's conversations about spiritual things.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm done. we have it. Yeah, thank you. And it's, but I do want to talk a little bit about it to try and help all of us understand what we're talking about. Maybe it's a new phrase we haven't used. But certainly I don't believe it's a new thing. And maybe to start, it might be helpful, to talk about what a spiritual conversation is not. It's not a deep theological presentation, you know, it's not a debate about my church, your church, doctrine. It's not about, but also as we think about having spiritual conversations, it's not viewing others as a project or a target. It's not going to be the result of, after you've had 13 weeks of training. We all have conversations. We know how to do that. But we don't want our conversations to always be about weather and who won the football game yesterday, even though it was the Steelers.
Amen.
But we want it to be about things that are in our heart. And I know you know how to do that because I hear you do it when we're here among ourselves. The things that we want to make the shift for, and I know some of you are already doing that and have been for some time, to make that shift to that we don't have these imaginary walls like, well, when we're at work, we only talk to people about work. Because I think you're like I was. When you're at work, sometimes you did talk about football and you talked about the weather and other topics of common interest. But we, you know, maybe have kind of hemmed ourselves in thinking that our recreational friends, you know, that we golf with or fish with, that we couldn't talk to them about spiritual things, about Jesus, about things that have an eternal consequence. But we can. And I think if you're like me, maybe for too long you fed yourself this lie that says nobody wants to hear. The world doesn't care. And it was easy to lump the world for all those people that didn't love God like us. I'm here to tell you that that is not true. You will be surprised. And I know some of you already have because I've heard you tell your witness when you ask maybe a total stranger, a waitress in a restaurant, could you pray for them? And that person kind of, it sort of set them back that they're surprised, but then they say, well, yes, you could pray for me about this, either their personal problem, one of their loved ones that was not well, something that was on their mind that they had a belief in the power of prayer and were delighted to have you pray for them. So let's just get the idea that nobody wants to hear out. Because it's not true. Are there some? Yes. Is it everybody? No. And I trust that the Spirit of God will lead us to the people that are searching, that He is calling, and our part is to be able to listen to what they say, so you really have a sense of their felt needs, and that you can respond to that and shift the conversation to the remedy for what's bothering them. And and it's as easy. I mean, we have examples in scriptures. Jesus went to a well in the middle of the day, and a woman came there and began the conversation talking about drinking water and that well. Jesus shifted it to living water. And that we would view as a spiritual conversation. He took what was on her mind and her concern and shifted it to living water, something with eternal consequences that she didn't know anything about. And listen to the words of Jesus. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. I know your heart is filled with the love of God because I hear you say it. I know your hearts are filled with concern for people who don't yet know God and haven't been fully obedient and accepting His grace and forgiveness. Have that in our heart. Have it closer and more frequently in our brain, and then it will come out of our mouth. That's what we're looking for this year. And all of us can improve. All of us are at different levels. Maybe we've never just had the courage to move a conversation in that direction with a close friend. Maybe we're afraid of losing that friend. There is risk involved. But what we're looking at in spiritual conversation is just planting the thought. Small seeds, whether you look at it as preparing the ground or just those small seeds. But I am convinced that if Jesus is number one in our heart, which we would all, you know, if I ask that question, is Jesus number one for you? How many hands go up? All of us. We've got to be diligent about having our actions reflect our words and what we truly believe when we're in here in this safe environment, and that it's true when we go out. Conversations are what we already do, but there is a habit that we need to develop, and that's to look for opportunities and listen for those felt needs of the person we're talking to. And then develop the habit. You could call it a skill. I think it's probably a learned behavior. I'm positive the more you do it, the easier it gets to be able to shift the conversation to a spiritual thought about Jesus, about you share your story, you know, your joy, where you find peace, what you heard, you know, in the sermon or a Bible class last week, maybe what you read yourself. There's not one canned way to respond to every single person, because everybody comes from a different place. But if we hear what they're saying, we have an answer. Jesus has all the answers. Right. And we can give them something that plants a small seed, that gives them something to think about. And then over time, as the opportunity comes up, that conversation can grow once you've initiated it. Once it moved into that, what we thought of as, oh, I don't want to talk about, you know, anything religious, you know, they'll just get angry, it'll just be an argument. We've already broken that ground in a gentle way, and then follow-up conversations can delve into it more deeper until one day they're ready to learn about Jesus and His grace and His forgiveness and how that invitation from Jesus is there for everybody, when our faith grows and we commit our lives to Him and are immersed, duplicating His burial and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins, and then receive that indwelling of the Spirit. But that's typically not where you would start. There may be someone that you run into that's already has those questions and is already at that point through their own personal study, and then the conversation can begin there. But typically, it doesn't. As we, I want to, you know, really key on that end of that verse as it, out of our mouth comes, or that speaks, that from which fills our heart. And the things that fill our heart, and you're going to see that little slide throughout this year, it's already on your bulletin, from a heart that's filled with the Spirit and filled with the love of Jesus for other people, come overflowing from that comes many, many things and answers for people when you begin a conversation. You know, it might be you might relate to them an answered prayer if that's what they're looking for. You might tell them about the peace that you experience out of your faith in Jesus. If they are without peace, if they're without joy, you can tell them where your joy comes from. And I think when we have this, you can judge each situation is a little different, but we don't need to be ashamed to tell our story, to have it be our witness to him or her. And again, you're all very intelligent, faith-filled people and can make a judgment at that time and pray for the opportunity. Pray for the Spirit to lead you in those words. He will pray to be wise in how we speak. And I'm confident that will happen. The Scripture says it will. It says the Spirit will lead you. And he will. One other scripture I'd like to read, and it's in Mark chapter 4. And he said, and that is he, Jesus, how shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the ground, yet when it is sown, it grows up, and because it's larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches such that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. We all want to plant those small seeds and be quick to leave someone with something to think about. Not that you're going to try and give them all the answers when they're not ready for it, but to give them something to think about. A small seed, a thought that relates to where they are, what they're looking for, what they've told you they don't have, what's missing in their life that is in the life of a Christian. So it's about planting seeds. We're not digging up oak trees and trying to plant giant oaks. This year we want to plant seeds. And there is no seed that's too small. There really is not. as we think about this spiritual conversation, some thoughts I want to leave you with are tear down those mythical walls and lies that we've told ourselves far too long, that nobody cares. Nobody wants to listen. Not true. Not true. Be ready to plant little seeds and watch God make them grow. And also, be ready to follow up. You know, when you meet this same person again, you can have another conversation that might be one step deeper. So watch God work as we have our spiritual conversations. And I'm confident that He'll bring results. And I'm confident that there are people out there that we run into every week, if not every day, that are searching. They're searching. Some of them don't yet know what they're searching for, but they recognize there's something in their life that they don't have. Just kind of in conclusion, it's the beginning of the year, and throughout this year, we will have opportunities. My prayer is that you seek out those opportunities and take advantage of them. And that's the lesson for today. Jeffrey, I am so frustrated. I watch the news and they tell me how good the economy's going. I change the channel and they tell me how terrible the economy's going. Every single thing that's wrong with it. I don't know what to believe. Does anybody tell the truth anymore?
You know, Dave, I hear you. I really do. Because, we all experience that. But I have a peace that just, for me, transcends all of that. My relationship with Jesus. Jesus tells me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's good enough for me. And I just connect with Him. I get to spend time with Him. And the more I do, the less all of that economy, the less all of the stuff in the world messes with my head. I love the relationship I have with Jesus Christ.
Wow. I don't know if that's for me, but I'll think about it. If you haven't heard anything that I said earlier, what you just saw is a spiritual conversation. He planted a little seed in my mind. He listened to what I was saying. He planted a little seed. The next time we meet, or the next time Jerry and I, or
Jeffrey.
I don't know him real well.
He's already working on the next preacher.
The next time Jerry and I run into another Jeffrey and has a conversation, he's going to tell me what his name is. And he's going to ask me about my frustration. And so then we'll have another conversation, a little layer deeper. Trust that God will continue to work and that He'll be God's tool.
Well, praying always.
That's a powerful tool in our toolbox. Like I say, every situation is different, but often that is work, and it touches people's hearts. With your bulletin today, you received some cards in there, and what we'd ask you to do over the course of this year is each time you have a spiritual conversation with somebody, just write, write their initials on that card, and you'll note there is no place for your initials. We want to use this as a tool to help us all kind of stay focused on this, and also for us to collectively rejoice and celebrate our collective successes. And in the weeks to come, you'll see how we're going to make this even more visible.